Thanks for listening to The Sports Beat with Santoria Black, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com. Now here's your host, Santoria Black.
And welcome to The Sports Beat here on ESPN 97.7. Santoria Black here with you on this Wednesday. Glad you could join us. Tabor reminded me that pitchers and catchers reported today. The Brewers are like Cutler. I don't care. You pray for the best. You hope for the best. And then they let you down. It's like, you know, you get all dressed up. And I mean, I could just name a plethora of players that have been through there, that have gone through to the World Series, and managers. Ned Yost was with the Brewers. And guess what?
That's got to be the one that stings if I'm a Brewers fan, is Ned Yost.
It's like somebody taking one of those razor straps off of a barber chair and smacking you on the butt. That's how much that stings.
I mean, what did he suddenly all of a, just magically become a, you know, a World Series winning manager?
No,
overnight?
Kansas City did something that Milwaukee has not done. And Milwaukee, at one point in time, had one of the best farm systems in the country.
What's that, built through their farm system in relief pitching?
Yeah. And, you know, Kansas City has done a lot in building their farm system up. They've taken a lot of these guys. You know what they remind you of? They remind you of Gonzaga in men's basketball. They don't get a lot of these quick fixes and all this other kind of stuff too much. They build through that farm system. They keep building and building. And then guess what? About every 3-4 years, you're going to get a really good team. And that's what Kansas City is now doing. Every single year, you know, last year it was arguable. But guess what? They're competitive. The Brewers, hey, we're great at the beginning of the season. And then reality sets in that we suck. So, yeah, it's a little
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Sam, there are 28 other teams in addition to your Brewers that are not reigning World Series champions.
Yeah, we're not even in the playoffs, dude. Keon Broxton, he's got something to prove this year, I think, for the Brewers. If he can cut down on whiffing. I mean, you know what? I feel a breeze every time he comes to the plate. I'm not kidding. Of course, then you got, Eric Thames? You got a couple of guys that...
I think you've made your point here with this, because you're mentioning names that I, as a guy who follows baseball, have no clue who you're talking about.
You know, it's just, you know, you start looking at the depth chart and you start looking at what you got. You got Braun coming back, and, Braun is so... he brings so much drama to the table at times. You got Villar at second base. You'll have Thames at first base. You'll have Shaw at third.
Saying that's a Triple-A team, man.
Dude, I've seen Triple-A teams that are better. Santana and Wright. Who are these people?
I mean, I've at least heard of Santana. Yeah, that's tough.
And, you know, we haven't even started spring training yet. The pitchers and catchers have just reported, and we're already looking at, dude, how many games will we be behind in the next, I don't know, 2 weeks after the season starts? It's just incredible, man.
I mean, you could be 6 or 8 games back by the end of April.
Dude, we'll be 10 games.
I mean, that's
legit.
That's legit.
Starting pitchers, yeah, we got Nelson. It's pretty good. Peralta, Garza, relief pitchers.
That's not bad. That's not bad on the starter front. But, I mean, if you're asking guys to go hold teams to 2 innings every game.
Yeah.
Two runs, I should say. You know, just to get in, that's not fair on your starting staff.
No, and then you look at Domingo Santana. You know, we told you about Broxton. He was terrible. Last year, he hit .256, 11 home runs and 32 RBIs last year. Broxton in center field, dude, we just hope that he doesn't strike out. He hit .242, 9 home runs and 19
what
RBIs.
What was his OBP?
350.
That's not going to cut it at the leadoff spot.
Yeah. 350, 355.
It needs to be up around 380.
Oh, good luck. I mean, dude, he swings at everything. He swings at golf balls that aren't even there.
Hey, that's one thing I'm really worried about my Cubs missing is Dexter Fowler in that spot.
Yeah.
You know, he's moved on to greener pastures, as in the pocketbook. And, hey, good on him, man. You know, he's earned that paycheck that he's getting from St. Louis, but – and it wasn't so much that he left as that he went to St. Louis. And so we just flip-flopped him for John Jay. And hopefully Jay can step in and be adequate. I'm not so much worried about him having the power that Fowler did. But just get on base. Mm-hmm. That's all I need for you. Get on base.
Well, Villar will come back, and he hit .285. His OBP is around .370. So it's not horrible. Thames will be at first base, and, you know, he played for the Orioles last year, if I'm not mistaken. Hit 250 at 21 home runs and 62 RBIs. His OBP is, what, 296? Good luck. We told you about the outfield. Braun is the only one hitting over 300. Then you got Shaw at third base, who wasn't he with the, I think, the Red Sox last year? He's hitting 240. Dude, this team sucks. I'm sorry. It's just I want to be hopeful. I really do. The catcher, I think, Bandy, who was with the Angels. Was it Angels last year? Hitting 234. Dude, we are just terrible.
I think you and Kramer need to make a friendly wager at whoever finishes in the cellar buys the other one lunch one day.
Oh, that'd be an interesting race.
It's looking like it's going to be Cincy and Milwaukee bringing up the rear in the Central.
You know, look, I'm always hopeful, and I like to – you know, I'm from Milwaukee, and I had a chance to cover Milwaukee for about 3 years during the summers when I was interning, when I was in college, and, you know, got a chance to know the team, know some of the people there. It's where I got a chance to get to know Lynn Casper and even had a chance to get to know Bob Uecker and, you know, Bud Selig, which I didn't care for him too much. But you know, you start – you know, that's your beat. So you're looking at that team, and it's frustrating to even watch at times because they're just so bad. You know, at that point in time, they were in the American League still. I almost got hit by a foul ball from King Griffey. And, you know, that was a team that still struggled. But, you know, I think you were right before. Paul Molitor is not coming out of the dugout. Cecil Cooper is not coming out. Ben Ogilvie is not coming out. Rob Deere is not coming out. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Jim Gantner is not coming out. I mean, they've had some just world-class athletes come through that program. And I think that if the curse of Paul Molitor still lives. I'm sorry. I think that until they do right by Paul Molitor, something, I think the curse is still going on. After they got rid of him, it was just kind of downhill from there. But, you know, you're hopeful. At least there's one good thing about spring training. It means you haven't lost a real game yet. So, you know, you can be optimistic. Maybe those OBPs and batting averages, you know, some of the jargon that you and Kramer know a whole lot better than I do. I just, you know, see what's on the field, and it's terrible. We'll see what happens, though, and how everything shakes down. All right, some more big news today. You know, the NFL has sent a little bit of a warning to Texas Governor Greg Abbott. He criticized the NFL for suggesting last week that the state could miss out on hosting another Super Bowl if a bathroom bill targeting transgender people is passed. Abbott, who is a Republican, told conservative host Radio Glenn Beck on Tuesday that the NFL is walking on thin ice with its veiled threat. Now, you know, let's be honest here. There's a lot of things that happen. Isn't there a reason why, was it Carolina lost the All-Star game and it's now in New Orleans? I mean, there's a lot of things that the leagues, as professional leagues, they have to make sure that they are paying attention to, because ultimately this is a business and you cannot have PR nightmares. And, you know, states who, you know, are not complying with certain things that leagues look at, guess what? They are a private entity and they can do what they want to do. You know, Texas is not seceding from the union. And I think that one of the things that these states have to remember and realize is that, look, times have changed. Whether you like it or you don't like it, times have changed. And leagues have to look out for the best interests of their leagues as a whole. Whether you like it or not is irrelevant. That's just the truth. And sometimes it's hard to hear the truth. Either you're going to start making some changes or your state's going to miss out on a whole lot of things. And guess what? I think the NCAA tournament's coming up next. Where, if, you know, you see some states that are not complying with certain rules and regulations, they're going to pull out. You got a responsibility. And some people don't agree with that, but guess what? It's just what it is. FS sent a text. He says, do I remember Nick Bockwinkel and Vern Gagne? Yes, I do. AWA days, if I'm not mistaken. And Nick Bockwinkel was great. I used to like Nick Bockwinkel and it was another. I liked the Killer Bees and the British Bulldogs. Probably one of the biggest tag teams that I've ever had a chance to see was when Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy got together and came together for a tag team matchup, and it was just absolutely incredible. There were some great tag teams that they had. I remember Coco Beware, and yeah, it was some great wrestling back in those days. Russell from Homer, I'm not gonna repeat that, Russell. We'll just say this: you disagree a little bit, and that's no problem. Hey, that's what's great about good radio. That's what's great. You can agree to disagree. One more thing before we get to our break here, and we told you a little bit about this story before, and that was about Alabama not being welcomed at Parkway due to not being ethical in recruiting. I mean, how do you feel about that? What's your opinion? You can text us at 888-993-7762. And just from the principle of looking at things, yeah, it's Alabama, so a lot of people are just like, well, good, at least there won't be competition there for LSU. But on the principle of the thing, is this not the same thing of what the other schools in South Louisiana were doing when they felt like that a coach was done wrong or they would feel like that something unethical happened? Now, again, whether you agree or disagree about that, remember, perception is more important than reality. And here, Parkway coach Feaster says that he feels that Alabama's unethical. Alabama could turn around and says, no, we're not. But it's all about their perception of the way that they feel. Feelings are real. And that's just the way that that things go so far. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have more of the Sports Beat. We're going to dig into some college basketball coming up next right here on ESPN 97.7. We'll be right back.
Ram Truck Month is here at Brennan Dodge with massive savings on Ram and our entire model lineup. Save $12,000 off MSRP on 16 Ram 1500 Crew Longhorn. Get a 17 Ram 1500 Quad Express for only $29.99. Save $3,000 on remaining 16 Jeep Wranglers. Save $7,000 on 16 Grand Cherokee Summit. And take your choice, 17 Jeep Cherokee or 17 Jeep Renegade is only $19.99. All these savings during Ram Truck Month at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
The following is a message from the Bud Light Party.
This election year, our calendars are filling up with lesser holidays, and it's becoming a problem. There's National Lumpy Rug Day, Shrimp Scampi Day, and Bat Appreciation Day. Everything is worth celebrating with a Bud Light, but come on, Bat Appreciation Day? This message approved by the Bud Light Party. Raise one to right now. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
For more than 40 years, Aramark has provided catering and other services to the world's athletes, coaches, and participants at 16 Olympic Games, including the 2012 Summer Olympics, and has proudly serviced Grambling for the past 15 years. Stop by the GSU campus and visit Taco Bell and Panda Express in the Tiger Express building. If you're catering an event, let Chef Troy Landry and Karen Bell plan your next event. Call 274-3106 for more information.
Hey, all, this is Jim Newcomb, host of the Spirit of the Outdoor Radio Show. I've got some really good guests on the show this week. We've got a man named Ben Reynolds on our show. He's developed a coat from MyCore Control. We've also got Barry Morrow. He's out there fishing those crappie. We've also got Mr. Bobby Lane on the show, Major League Fisherman. He's with Bassmaster Elite. That's this week on Spirit of the Outdoor Radio Show.
Back here at the Sports Company, ESPN 97.7. A couple of people chiming in on the text line. Quinn from Dodson: Texas shouldn't change to please less than 2% of the population. Russell, I know it was a joke. You know, people are who they want to be, and you know, and I think that's the thing, man. Is that, you know, look, it's about understanding where we are as a society. You know, look, I'm not saying that you have to agree with anyone's lifestyle, and I don't care what it is. You know, lifestyles just don't end at the bathroom door. Lifestyles can be, you know, you're just a low down dirty scoundrel. Lifestyles could be that, you know, you're just a big liar. Lifestyles could, I mean, you know, some people lie for a living. That's what they do. That's what they do. So no matter what your lifestyle is, I think it's about just, hey, people are who they are. If they're not infringing on you and your personal space, hey, let people be who they're going to be. You don't have to agree with their lifestyle. Just respect people. And I think if we do that, I think Sean said something a couple of months back, be nice. I think if we just concentrate on that a little bit more instead of worrying about, hey, I don't like that person, it doesn't matter. You know, nobody's asking you to be, nobody's asking anybody to be your best friend. Yeah, right, Russell. You know, I love everyone. You know, I mean, that's just the thing. You may not like, you know, you may not like people, but hey, that's fine. You know, but just respect people enough to let them have their own. Let them have their own space. Anyway, let's get to some basketball news. First of all, I want to touch in here with the Southwestern Athletic Conference because things are getting a mighty big interesting when you start looking at the men's side of things. And this weekend, there was a lot of drama. Texas Southern still 10-2, but Alcorn is the hottest team in the conference. They won 8 games in a row. This team was 2-3. They've won 8 in a row and now in second place in the conference. Grambling now is in a log jam. for fifth place. They're Alabama State, Grambling, Arkansas, Pine Bluff, all 6-6 or 6-7. Prairie View now 5-7 with that loss to Grambling. Valley at 4-9, and Alabama A&M is waiting for next year. They're 1-11. I doubt they'll make the tournament. Top eight make it. So right now it's about getting that magic number, which I think is around 9 or 10. You get to 10-8, I think you're safely into the conference tournament. For Grambling, you got a three-game stretch coming up between Jackson, Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and Mississippi Valley, in which I might add, Valley plays very good at home. Although they lost three in a row, this is a team that has played very good at home, beat Southern, as a matter of fact. This is a team, I think, that if you are Grambling, you got to win at least two out of these next three games. I think you got to try to beat Jackson, which they're 7-6 right now in fourth place, and you got to try to beat Arkansas Pine Bluff, which is right there in that logjam. You win two of those games, two of those three of those games, you come back home for the final weekend of the season, and I think you're in pretty good position in order to get into the conference tournament. I think you'll beat Alabama A&M when they come to campus. Alabama State then is that next big challenge after that. So you got to win two here. The loss against Southern really hurts you because you, instead of being 7-6, you're 6-7. But at the same time, it's not over. I think that they still are an 11-15, I might add. First time Grambling's had 11 wins in a long time. So I think that they're good on that side. Meanwhile, on the women's side of things, how about this? The Lady Tigers, number one in the conference right now. Lady Tigers right now sitting at, I think it's 10-3. 10-3. And then Texas Southern, Alabama State, both 9-3. Southern at 8-5. They just cannot buy a game at some point in time. They did win a game this weekend. Pine Bluff is at 8-5, and Alcorn is at 8-5. If you're Grambling, two teams that come to mind, you got to play Jackson, who's just 2-11 right now. And I might add, Grambling has already qualified for the tournament. That's because they're seven games up on Jackson State for eighth place or for ninth place. So they're right now, they have qualified for the tournament. So right now it's about making sure that they try to keep that top seed, or at least stay in the top four, in order to get a home game in the first round of the tournament. Ideally, you want to keep that top seed. If you do, you'll host a team like Prairie View in the first round, which is a bad matchup for Grambling. As it said, we looked at that game on Saturday. That was a team that struggled against Prairie View. But a team like Prairie View, Mississippi Valley, you know, those are teams that they can battle with. Although Valley's got probably one of the hottest players right now, averaging a double-double since January 3rd. So for the Lady Tigers, 10-3 right now, you're in good position. Three games on the road with Jackson, Arkansas, Pine Bluff, and Mississippi Valley. Again, two out of three. You need at least that. Coming back home to face Alabama State, which is going to be a huge game, and Alabama A&M. A&M will probably miss the tournament. They're 0-12. I don't think they're going to catch Prairie View. They got to win three games right now. They can't win one. They lost 15 in a row going back to the non-conference season. 15 in a row. The last win that they've had was November the 29th against Oakwood College. After that, it has not even been – well, there's been a couple games close. Valley was a two-point loss, 60-58. They had a nine-point loss to Texas Southern, six-point loss to Valley. But it has been a struggle for Alabama A&M. All right, moving along. Of course, we talked about ULM. Same kind of difference, top eight make it. You look at where the ULM Warhawks are and what their schedule is coming up. The men's basketball team right now, they lost to Troy in overtime, 73-72. Was a tough game. Four in a row now they've lost. The last one they've had was January the 30th, I believe it was, against Arkansas Little Rock. You got ULL coming up. Can I call them ULL without going to jail in the state now, Tabor? Is that okay?
You could just do what I do and call them USL.
Boy, you talk about adding insult to injury. Three games left for the Warhawks. They play ULL, UT Arlington, and Texas State. Couple of games on the road still. Last weekend in February against Appalachian State and Coastal Carolina. Where they go as far as if they qualify for the tournament, we'll see what happens with that. Question about Grambling, about the basketball team. Here's a way that this goes when you look at football and basketball. They're two different sports. I mean, obviously, look at LSU. I mean, LSU's been good in basketball or good in football and not so good in basketball. Look at Alabama. Very good in football, okay in basketball. They might make the tournament. You know, the program is still growing. There's been a lot of different changes, coaching changes and things over the past several years. A lot of that, I think, has had to do with administration changes as well. And I think now that Paul Bryant, who's the athletic director at Grambling, is now in place and, you know, for the foreseeable future will be there for a while, the stability, I think, will help all the programs at Grambling, not just football, but I think all the programs. And then not only that, but having stability at the president's position as well with Rick Gallo. I think all of those things kind of make that thing work. I mean, and I know it seems like it's, you don't see where that I'm coming from, but, you know, everything that happens below starts with the top. And if you don't have consistency at the top, then you have those problems. And I think you have that now at Grambling. So, yeah, we'll get to a couple other questions here in just a little bit. For the Louisiana Tech men's basketball team, well, how about the Bulldogs? You know, one point in time we were talking about how, you know, this was going to be – could be a tough year, whatever the case is. But you talk about this Bulldogs team. They have really played well in the in this season. And I might add, you know, could they get into a tournament, you know, type of setting again if they do – if they don't, you know, win in the tournament, can they do that? And I think that's really interesting to really think about. Middle Tennessee, of course, 22-4. They're just strong right now. I think they're 12-1 right now in the conference. Louisiana Tech is 18-8, 10-3 in the conference. For Louisiana Tech, it's all about winning. They have really the easier schedule on the back half of this season. When you think about who they've got left to play, Florida Atlantic, Florida International, North Texas, Rice, Southern Miss. You should win four games there. I think you win four games there to put you at 22 wins. That's a pretty strong schedule going into the conference tournament. Tabor, this is just my opinion now. When you start looking at how tough the schedule was starting in January, UAB, of course, was a loss in the Middle Tennessee and in Western Kentucky. You won that one. But since that point in time, since Western Kentucky on February the 2nd, four in a row. But these last five games, Tabor, I think that this team can sweep all five of these games.
I think looking back, saying when they made the swing through Murfreesboro and then Middle Tennessee and UAB, I was hoping for a split. They didn't get it. Of course, the UAB on Thursday night, the sour taste, and Boykins getting suspended. I believe if Boykins had been eligible to play in Murfreesboro on Saturday, they might have beaten Middle. Be that as it may, Middle's got a full two-game and, for intensive purposes, a three-game lead with a tiebreaker on Tech. I don't think they're going to catch them. That Middle team's good. That's a quality top 30 caliber basketball team.
Yep.
But I believe Tech can firmly cement themselves in the two seed. And, you know, who's to say that UAB, who is by far and away been Tech's thorn in their side for the men's basketball program the last few years, maybe they can fall down to the four seed, get put in the other side of the bracket, and Tech would only have to be beaten Middle or UAB.
Yep.
So, but needless to say, they're in a great position. I think expectations, you know, on the average were, you know, middle of the road. I personally was hoping for just a top four finish to get that bye in the first round of the Conference USA tournament. That they're well on track to do that.
Yep.
And the way this team is gelled with so many new pieces, you've only got one senior who might add has been the true definition of a senior captain, and Eric McCree. You couldn't ask for a better example of a guy stepping up and leading his team, showing the young guys the ropes. So Conkle and his staff have got them playing good ball. They got the Florida teams in this weekend with FAU and FIU. Both are in the bottom area of the standings. I think the team is at that, the program, not just this year's team, but the program now is at a point where they can expect to win those kind of home games in conference, not just go out and do it.
Yeah, the bottom four teams in the conference, which we told you, FIU, well, Florida Atlantic, Southern Miss, FIU, and North Texas, are combined 11-38. I mean, you know.
And so, compared to Tech, who has nine wins in conference.
That's right.
On their own.
You got 10.
That's right. They're 10-3 now. I'm sorry.
That's right. Tech has almost as many wins as the bottom four teams in the conference. The only team that they have to face coming up that'll pose a real challenge, I think, is Rice. They're 7-5 and 17-8 overall. Not a bad team. So, you know, Tech, I think they got to get those bottom four. I think those are the games you got to knock out. And, you know, as you said, Tabor, you know, you do have a team that's, you know, a thorn in your side sometimes in Southern Miss. And, gosh, you definitely don't want to lose to North Texas. So you just, you know, winning those games, I think, will help you a whole lot getting where you need to go. 22-9, 23-8, that's a pretty good overall schedule.
They've got a chance to get to 25 wins before the end of the conference, you know, within the end of the conference tournament.
Right.
It's probably not enough to stand alone for an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament, but it'll definitely get them, I think, in the NIT should they falter in the conference tournament. And I wouldn't even call it a building block. It's a keeping the program on the momentum they were riding under the Mike White regime. And kudos to Conkle for, you know, patchworking his lineup, you know, having Janiah White back this year, who has still got a lot of learning and growing to do. But if you saw him when he first stepped floor at Tech 2 years ago and the maturation he's become as a player now, the weight he's gained, his skill level, you know, his rebounding, his defensive presence is outstanding. Just his length and his timing has gotten much better. So that's another piece that has flourished under Conkle's tutelage. So I've been very impressed, and I'm really hoping maybe they can hit a run, and maybe this can be the year. It'd be kind of ironic that the couple years under Mike that you expected Tech to possibly break through and make the tournament, and they didn't. And now you've got kind of what was considered to possibly a rebounding, you know, kind of stop gap type of season. That might be the season that they do break through, because while not the most talented team we've seen at Tech, they're really playing together. Guys are filling their roles. You've got your one senior who's leading the team, and everybody else is following right behind his lead. And I've been very impressed and pleased with my Bulldogs.
Well, hoping for the best for Louisiana Tech coming up for the rest of the season. Again, the last five games are against teams that, you know, like I said, 4-1 would be pretty respectable if you can come out of that one, go 22-9 into that tournament. I think you're in good shape of not only, you know, being able to legitimately try to get an NC2A automatic bid, but even if you didn't, I think you could still make an NC2A or some type of a tournament, postseason tournament. I think that's very possible. All right, got to take a timeout, and when we come back, we'll get Charles Edmond on the air. He's ready to roll. Well, you're listening to the Sports Beat right here on ESPN 97.7. We'll be right back.
ESPN 97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Dear John, uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. But when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
To get your high blood pressure to a healthy range, visit heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Tailgating, marching bands, the crashing of helmets, and the hitting of pads can only mean one thing. Football season is alive and well in Louisiana. For over 100 years, Origin Bank has been committed to serving and helping its communities grow and prosper by being a true community partner. From Apple Pay to checking, savings, home, and business loans, we offer a wide array of individualized products and services. Come by or call one of our banking centers or visit OriginBankOnline.com. Two proud traditions, Louisiana football and Origin Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Fox, sports director here at ESPN 97.7, inviting you to join me and the rest of the sports company every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 for our unique, unfiltered take on the world of local and national sports. We're going to make you laugh, it might make you cry, and there's a pretty good chance at some point I'm going to make you mad, but we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. That's the sports company, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, right here in your home for sports in North Louisiana, ESPN 97.7.
Want to help fight crime in Lincoln Parish? You can start a neighborhood watch program in your neighborhood. Just contact Deputy Willard Sullivan with the Lincoln Parish Sheriff's Office at 318-251-5119. This is a free program. If an 18 by 24 sign is needed, there is a charge of $38 installation, and the post is free. This is one way to help make your neighborhood safer. Remember, call Deputy Willard Sullivan at 251-5119 to get your neighborhood watch program started.
Hey, this is Sean Fox, sports director here at ESPN 97.7, inviting you to join me and the rest of the sports company every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 for our unique, unfiltered take on the world of local and national sports. We're going to make you laugh. It might make you cry, and there's a pretty good chance at some point I'm going to make you mad. But we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. That's the sports company, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, right here in your home for sports in North Louisiana, ESPN 97.7.
Back here on the Sports Beat here, ESPN 97.7, Santoria Black with you. Well, if you're looking for the president during the NCAA basketball tournament bracket, which has been an NCAA basketball tournament is steeped in tradition, that tradition will not happen this year. President Trump has decided not to pick brackets for the 2017 men's and women's basketball tournaments. And I know, Tabor, you were holding your breath just to see if that was going to happen.
No, I wasn't.
The White House notified ESPN that the president will pass on making the picks this year. So, I'm so sad. I'm saddened. It's just so depressed. Charles Edmond joining us here from the Alcorn Sports Radio Network and the SWAC Digital Network, talking a little SWAC basketball and getting ready for baseball as well. Charles, aren't you depressed that Trump won't be picking any of the games this year? Isn't that depressing?
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah. How, you know, you always have the right thing to say at the right time. Sad state of affairs. Charles, you know, look, the end of the conference season is coming right up, and there's some teams that are praying to the good Lord that they can win a couple of games and a couple of other teams can lose. Both Alabama A&M schools look like they will be missing the tournament this year. One is 0-11. The other one's 1-10. Neither team looks particularly well or, you know, good this year. So you know that on both sides, Alabama A&M will probably miss the tournament, so we won't see their fans. But then it becomes a little bit more interesting with the bottom of some of these conferences. You start with the women's side, Jackson State. What has happened to them? 2-11.
Yeah, Jackson State, it's kind of the big disappointment of the whole conference season, men and or women, because usually Serena Dixon has a pretty competitive ball club, good backcourt play. I really think that their front court, their bigs, are pretty decent, but they just can't put the ball in the bucket. And if you can't score, if you can't defend, which they've been struggling with all year, it's hard to win in this league. And, you know, tough times in Jackson on and off the athletic circle, and, you know, we hope that all of it comes together at some point to make it happen. But it's been tough for Serena Dixon this season, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and then you look at the top of the conference. Grambling, of course, 10-3. Big wins this weekend over Texas Southern and Prairie View. And they struggled with Prairie View a little bit, and then they were able to pull away. Texas Southern and Alabama State both 9-3. And then, hey, right there, three teams jammed up there for what, third place, Southern, Arkansas Pine Bluff, and the Alcorn State Lady Braves.
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of a seesaw. I mean, Texas Southern looked like they may have been a step away from maybe running away with it, but then they go to Valley, they go to Pine Bluff and stumble, and then they stumble yet again, you know, against Grambling, who's the hottest team in the conference right now. And, you know, you look at Grambling, and you know this, Centoria, you know, a first-year head coach in transition, and the pieces were there. It's just a matter of whether or not they all bought into the process. They obviously have, mm-hmm. and they're in first place, and they're looking pretty good with a favorable home schedule on the back end of it, to where they can kind of sew up the regular season. But for the talk of this format with the bottom two out, the top four hosting a first-round game, I think so far it's working out to where just about every game is important, because teams don't want to travel. You know, for that first round, teams want to host and make it a one travel deal. So I think for both sides, I think there's a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, there is. Right now, Grambling, Texas Southern, Alabama State, and Southern would all host a first-round game. Pine Bluff, Alcorn Valley, and Prairie View would all travel in the first round. And, you know, here's where it becomes interesting. Last weekend of the season, let's say take a team like Prairie View. You know, you're going to have – I think they got a road trip the last weekend of the season, and all of a sudden now you come off of a road trip, and then you have to go on the road again for that first-round game. So that's where it really starts to make a difference these last six games of the season.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see, once the season is over and the dust settles on it, to see what the coaches think, the ones that have had to travel, and then if they are lucky to make it to Houston, have to travel again. I'm anxious to see, you know, the opinions of those bottom teams that have to travel. I'm anxious to see how that's going to work out, because I think it's going to be a topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. I think the SWAC has done all that they can do to – I think they've the commissioner and others have attended these the schools and – trying to make sure that the formula is set up, making sure appropriate locker room space in case there are two games there, just to make sure the conference is well represented for these first round home games. I think that's been taken care of. Just a matter now of putting your money where your mouth is and being able to spend some money to be able to go travel to these sites if you're on the road, then you have to travel again. That's not easy. There's no question about it, and that's why the regular season is important.
Charles Edmond from the Alcorn Sports Radio Network, as well as the SWAC Digital Network. We do a little baseball during tournament time and also take care of a little softball and baseball for TV during the season in the spring. You start looking at the men's side, and this is where things get real interesting. You got two teams at the top with 10 wins. Alcorn is the hottest team in men's basketball. They won 8 in a row, and now they're tied with Texas Southern.
Yep, the Braves have won 8 straight, the first time they've done that since 2001-2002. When you look at this team, I mean, no one is playing a ton of minutes, and because of that, I think the Braves defense, the Braves defense, as well as their free throw shooting, has been outstanding. This team is gaining confidence more and more with every win. And all we needed was for Texas Southern to slip up once, and they did. Jackson State, you know, knocked them off. So now it's a dogfight to the end. Texas Southern, they host Valley, Pine Bluff. They got to go to Alabama. And then on the short turnaround, they got to come home for Southern and Alcorn. So it's not going to be an easy road for Texas Southern. The Braves are playing well, but they can't afford to slip as Alabama State, trying to find a way to maybe get in the top four. So that, you know, hey, this is what makes it fun. Just about every game is meaningful.
Yeah, and then you start looking at Texas Southern loss, which was kind of a surprise, lost to Jackson the other night. Now they're 10-2. They lost to Valley and to Jackson, and it kind of opens the door up here for Alcorn State. Then Southern, Jackson, Alabama State, Grambling at 6-7. We talked about the bottom. A&M is pretty much going to be out of the picture, it looks like. Mississippi Valley right now at 4-9. They have a unique situation because they play extremely well at home.
You know, it would be kind of a shame. Valley beat the last team, beat Alcorn, and they beat Texas Southern, knocking them from the ranks of the unbeaten. And they very well may not make the tournament,
yep.
Which if they somehow did, I think would be a very difficult out. But Valley hasn't been able to take care of their business at home. It's going to be tough winning at Texas Southern and Prairie View. They still have Pine Bluff coming up. They got Jackson and Grambling coming up. It's going to be tough. I think Valley's going to probably need to go on a 3-game winning streak and maybe get a little help if they want to make the top 8.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, of course, we turn our attention a little bit here from basketball. Baseball starts this weekend. I know Grambling's in the MLB Invitational. Alcorn is – are you guys on the road?
We're at home, actually.
At home.
So I'll be there Friday and Sunday, and I'm looking forward to the baseball season. Of all the season openers of all the sports, it's nothing like opening day in baseball. It's just something about it that just it makes your hair stand up on your head. I don't have any hair, but I'm really excited about it. You know, I think Braves baseball coach Brett Richardson in the second season got some pretty good pieces in place, very professional attitude in terms of handling their business. And, you know, it was kind of a sour taste in our mouth the last time we graced that field against Southern in the SWAC baseball tournament. We lost a big lead, lost to Southern, and we start the season in New Orleans, and we hope to end it on a positive note on that same field. We got Grambling, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to the Sunday game against Southern, kind of a rematch there of last year's tournament, the quarterfinal game.
Yeah, baseball is always interesting. You start looking at a lot of the pitching, some of the hitting that's coming up this season, and you could see a little bit of a different some different things this year. All I think it was Arkansas Pine Bluff, who not Grambling out of first place last year, ended up going into the conference tournament as the number one seed out of the West. This is going to be an interesting year. Roger Cador, it's going to be an interesting year for him. Southern, they've had their problems and issues, ups and downs. Of course, they did not have their full complement of players last year at the tournament, which cost them some games. So that's going to be an interesting year in Baton Rouge as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that the talk may be, and Coach Cador was on a program on Saturday, on Carlos Brown's show on Saturday, and he talked about he doesn't have much time left. He figures, you know, his days at Southern are kind of winding down a little bit. You know, I hope he goes out gracefully. I know there's been a lot of talk down there about pushing him out the door. I hope that's not the case. Man's won 25 championships. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, and that reminds me of another situation in Louisiana. A guy by the name of the late Eddie Robinson, during his final years there, people tried to push him out the door. When the governor intervened, if you remember, and
yep.
said, leave Eddie Robinson alone, let him go out when he's ready to go out. And I think for someone like Roger Cador, for all he's done for HBCU baseball, for Southern baseball, for SWAC baseball, when his time comes, I think he'll walk away, and I think he'll walk away gracefully. And I wouldn't be surprised if Southern had another run or two in him and pushing for another championship.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, is that oftentimes you see a lot of these coaches, they get a little older, they've been in the league, you know, 20, 30, you know, 30, 40 years in some cases. And, you know, when a coach has done a lot to help a league, you know, and we can look all across the Southwestern Athletic Conference when you saw coaches, you know, when their time was up coaching. You mentioned Eddie Robinson. You think about Roger Cador at Southern University. You think about Marino Kasem when he was coaching. You know, just all of these coaches, when the time was up, Candy at Texas Southern before he passed away, you know, a lot of these coaches gave a lot to the conference and what they really loved. And, you know, sometimes I think that, yeah, this is a business and we know it's about the W's and the L's, but I think there's a right and wrong way of doing things.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think Father Time is always undefeated.
Oh, yeah.
And I think for those individuals, late and current, I think they'll know when their time is up. And I would even – and I've made the suggestion to some folks, even when Coach Cador is done coaching at Southern, I don't know if it'll happen or not, but because of all the money that he's raised for baseball and for athletics, why not stick around in the athletic department and help Southern in terms of the fundraising aspect? I think his contacts in Baton Rouge will help. You know, help Southern. I think it has, and it will continue to do so. I think behind the scenes, he would do a wonderful job in bringing in some additional dollars that Southern might need for athletics and for the university. I don't know if he's going to do that or not. I know he's going to wait for his field house. Phase one is complete. I think there's going to be another phase. I think once that's done, I think that's when he'll walk away, because then the whole thing is complete. His whole tenure is complete. The field house, the newly renovated Heinz Field, everything with that, the championships, I think that will complete the cycle for Coach Cador. When that happens, then I think he will walk away. It may be another year, might be another 2 years, but I think after that, I think that's when you'll see him, jaunt off into the sunset.
Charles, we appreciate you, man, and best of luck this weekend.
Should be a lot of fun with baseball, softball, and basketball. Busiest sports time of the year. Looking forward to it.
All right, thanks a lot, my friend. Charles Edmond from the Alcorn State Sports Network and also the SWAC Digital Network. We were talking about how this is a busy time of the year. Russell, he chimed in and said, was asking about Grambling. They play at Baum Stadium this year in Fayetteville. I think it's a two-game series that they have up there. Yes, I have been. First round of the NC2A tournament, Grambling won the when they won the automatic bid, we went to Arkansas for the first round of the tournament and went up there and played Arkansas. I believe it was Kansas State was the other team that they played up there in Fayetteville. Beautiful campus and unbelievable stadium. It looks like a AAA ballpark. It's just absolutely incredible, especially at night. So, yeah, if you ever had a chance to go to Fayetteville, man, that is some place to go up there. And then, of course, scenic mountains and all that kind of stuff. And then it kind of freaked me out because there's no guardrail. It's just, you know, the shoulder and then give your butt to God. That's just about it. That's what it is. It's a very – you have to be awake driving on that road going up there. All right, going to take a short time out. When we come back, we'll put a wrap on things here on the Sports Beat, ESPN 97.7.
Brennan Collision Center is now open. This is Steve Brennan. Our new body shop is now open and ready to take care of your repair needs. Our manager, Cheryl Thornhill, is well known in the area, and her team of Marshall Doss, Paul Wills, Doc, Kevin Murray, and Joellen Simpson have decades of experience and a reputation second to none. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And our phone number is 251-4824. We'll get your car repaired quick and to your satisfaction. Give Cheryl a call. Brennan Collision Center, located next to Brennan Dodge on the service road in Ruston.
Okay, I found the holiday lights, the ornaments, and hey, an old lamp.
Sweet! Let me rub it and see what happens.
So, your wish, my command, yada yada. What's on your wish list?
How about 100,000 bucks?
100,000 bucks coming right up.
Oh, reindeer.
Play the holiday scratch-offs from the lottery. Selfie surprise, penguin, or $100,000 wish list. You could win up to $100,000. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
Wake up. Did you know? Wake up and hear what you've been missing.
It's the Nick Brown Show.
Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 97.7. Follow Nick on Twitter, Facebook, and listen online at ESPN977.com. Wake up.
Join us this Saturday.
It's the Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Saturdays on ESPN 97.7.
All right, back here on the Sports Beat, ESPN 97.7. Santoria Black here with you on this Wednesday. It is almost over with, the end of hump day. And now it's just kind of getting on into the weekend, and there's a lot going on this weekend. If you are around the area, of course, I don't know, where do you want to start? I mean, there's basketball coming up. I know Grammy's on the road at Jackson. Was it Louisiana Tech men, I believe, are at home this weekend?
Yes, men are at home. The women are on the road.
FAU and FIU Thursday and Saturday for the men. That's coming up. So just, you know, some great opportunities
Something a little different if you're into the mixed martial arts. Legacy Fighting is having a fight card over at the Horseshoe in Bossier City Friday night.
Really?
So go check that out. Got a couple. Andrea Lee from Freeport and I can't remember Jesse's last name. Jesse Butler from Monroe area are both fighting on the card. So go check out some local fighters. Kind of I think they're kind of branding themselves as the NCAA of MMA, sort of as a feeder into Bellator and UFC. So go check it out if you're interested in the fight game.
And then, of course, ULM is at home against ULL. That game has been moved up because of the Mardi Gras parade. So if you're going over to the ULM games this weekend, I believe the women tip off at noon and the men tip off at 2 p.m. over at Fenton Ewing Coliseum.
Hats off to both schools for making that agreement and doing that.
And I think, you know what, it's really, that's a good thing because, you know, look, let's just be honest. When you have an event like the Mardi Gras parade that goes on, I mean, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people that go to that parade every single year. To have something that would conflict with that, you know, you're not going to get the best crowd.
It'd put a dent in, it'd definitely put a dent in the amount of people.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you might even have some people that's drawing straws to see who's actually going to work the game that day. Kudos to ULM and ULL for both being collaborative on a collaborative agreement here to make sure that game is changed. So 12 o'clock and 2 o'clock, more like 2:30 on the men's side for that game against ULL this Saturday. And we told you about the Grambling Tigers in Jackson, Louisiana Tech, of course. The men are at home, women are on the road. And then there's the LSU Tigers. Poor LSU. We put LSU on the altar. Just to let you know, just to see what's going on. But let's just be honest. This is
saying I said after the A&M 30-point loss that I put them at 3 more wins that to get them to 12. That was including the conference tournament.
Dude.
So far, they have not won a ball game since then.
I don't even know where to start. Are they 1-12?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
they're worse than Missouri.
It's rough. Yeah, they literally are in last place in the SEC.
Is there any – I mean, they have lost a ton in a row. I mean
– since the Missouri game.
Yeah. They lost to Ole Miss the other night.
Yeah, Ole Miss beat them by 20.
I mean, we've lost, what, 13 in a row?
Let me rephrase that. Ended the game on an 18-0 to beat LSU by 20.
Wow, 12 in a row, and then they're at Alabama on Saturday.
Who is fighting for a NCAA bid.
That's right. I hate to say this, and you know, and I listened to Ryan, the Ginger Ninja, this morning.
He tried. Bless his heart, he tried.
Good Lord. I mean, you know what? If it's anybody that was a cheerleader for LSU this morning.
Well, and that's the ironic thing, saying is he's by no means an LSU cheerleader. You know, he was just trying to make the case for Johnny and give a little back and forth between he and Aaron, but he just got to where he was digging himself out of a hole.
And remember we talked about how Texas A&M might be one of those only wins. I remember we had this conversation. That could have been their only win. We knew they were going to lose to Florida. We knew they were going to use – we said Texas Tech. Maybe they win that one. No. Auburn is really the only game that I see that they could – well, Tennessee, depending on how they recover after the thrashing that they took against Kentucky last night. But, man, we're talking about LSU may end the season – I don't know, losing somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 in a row if they don't win another game. 17 in a row. That is unprecedented. 17 in a row. I just don't think.
18 if you throw in the first round of the tournament.
Yeah, dude, that's just a formality then.
And it's.
I just don't think Johnny makes
it. I don't see a win left on the season.
Auburn is it. I mean, that is the only game that.
Auburn's playing better ball. I mean, they're competitive.
Maybe at Georgia? Maybe? I mean, dude, this is bad. This is like a bad hand of spades. We're not even talking about sure books. We're just talking about slim possibles. We can't even make board.
They're not going to make board.
No, we're not going to make board at all. We talked about this before, and this is before the South Carolina game. I believe it was right before Arkansas, as a matter of fact. And, you know, now you're going down a list, and it's not getting any better. We're not talking about 2 or 3 point losses either. You lost by 8 against Arkansas. We said, hey, maybe that's a game that they would win. We knew they were going to lose against Kentucky. We said, hey, maybe Texas A&M. They lost by what, 12?
12, yeah.
We didn't talk about South Carolina. Yeah, they lost by 25 in that game. And then Texas Tech. So in the last 3-4 weeks since we've talked about LSU last, they've lost another 6 in a row. It's not going to get any easier. Let's take a look at the SEC on this Wednesday. The Arkansas Razorbacks on top of South Carolina. 11-14 remaining in the second half, 55-52. This would be a huge win for Arkansas if they can pull off a win against South Carolina, and would actually help their case to get into the NCAA tournament as an at-large. I'm picking Arkansas over Alabama right now as far as an at-large team. Maryland on top of Northwestern, 32-22. I'm hoping Northwestern loses by 50 after they beat Wisconsin the other night. It was sinful. It was just absolutely dreadful. Cincinnati, number 18 in the country, beating USF right now, 30-22. Creighton and Seton Hall play later on. UNC and North Carolina State. Boy, what has happened to the Wolfpack? St. John's and Butler will be playing a little bit later on. Tulane and SMU at 8 o'clock tonight. That game is over in Dallas. Let's see, who else? And then I think you got Duke and Virginia. Duke, 12, number 12 in the country.
Yeah, I'd call that the marquee matchup this evening.
12-14, there's no doubt. And
you got a UVA team that's not too happy about dropping a game in Blacksburg over the weekend, so that ought to make for a really good game.
Yep. Russell said it's talking about Baum Stadium, one of the best ballparks in the country. I've been there when 10,000 fans are in attendance. The outfield area is brutal for opposing players. The chants and the banter. Oh, you are absolutely correct. It is unbelievable out there if you ever go to an Arkansas Razorback game. Couple more things before we get out of here on this Wednesday. One is, be careful out there if you're going to the Mardi Gras parade. You know, we can't stress enough, be responsible. That's all we can really say. Just be responsible. We all know that people will consume the happy juice. How happy you get depends on you. And if you're going to get the happy juice, don't do things that will make you unhappy.
Yeah, isn't it the one day of the year that Monroe and West Monroe
get along?
I guess, how to state it, ease their open container laws?
I think you're right. Ease, so, yeah. That's a good word. Now, don't be like some people. I went to a Monroe.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you can just get out there in the middle of the street and get ignorant.
There you go. It's not ignorant.
Not ignorant.
It's
no, ignorant.
That's right. Talk about it, boy.
I said it right the first time.
Ignorant. That's right. Don't get out there and get ignorant. Other than that, that's about it. Yep. Okay, yeah. Pitchers and catchers did report today, and we talked about that earlier. I feel about like the Brewers right now, like, you know, Cutler feels about winning with the Bears. They don't care. I don't care. I told you what the batting averages were. You're supposed to get excited about that? You got one batter hitting over 300 and maybe one more over 280? We're on prayer right now for the Milwaukee Brewers. All right, got to get out of here. Make way, I believe, for basketball action. Pelicans coming up right here.
Some Pels coming up here in about 2 minutes.
Yep, we'll take this break. Pelicans coming up next right here on ESPN 97.7. Always remember, one nation, one people. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Sports Beat with Centoria Black. Tune in live every week at ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeteSports.com.